Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 80. My name is Mike. I have Kane here with me, like always.
Yes, we are here.
This is our weekly weekend review show, basically. We're going to run down everything that came through video games, movies, comic books, news. It's been a busy week, really, and there's a lot to cover. We want to thank you guys for checking us out here on Heroes Asylum. Also want to thank you guys for subscribing to our Facebook page, because we are now live on our Facebook page. So thank you guys for checking that out. And also to say hi and thanks, guys, for the Facebook group. You guys have been awesome. You guys have been so much fun. And we want to thank you guys from our bottom of our hearts. It's been a passion for Kane and I for a while. And you guys on Facebook, you guys definitely jump in and make it a community. So we want to thank you guys.
Yep. Thank you. Appreciate that. The inmates have taken over the asylum, as you would say.
That was the plan from the beginning.
Actually, it was the plan from the beginning.
Yep. But we're going to go ahead and get started. I know Kane has some news and stuff we want to talk about. I've got a bunch of stuff, so I'm going to let Kane knock it out of the park first.
Ooh, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Spider-Man. Remember Spider-Man? Remember that Spider-Man game that came out for the PS4 a couple years ago? It was actually really good. I bought it, played through it. Storyline's great. Even the side missions are pretty good. Anyway, they're releasing an Avengers game for the PS4, which is going to be coming out, I believe, sometime next month. Don't quote me on that, but I think it is. And Spider-Man, at first, was not a playable character for this game. It was just the Avengers, the OG Avengers. But now it has come down that he will be in the Avengers game as an exclusive character. But here's the catch. It's only for PS4 consoles only. So you Xbox people, you are SOL. Sorry. But yep, he's going to be a playable character starting in 2021. Don't know how you have to get him. Probably have to buy him online. Probably like $10 or something. Maybe to come with another side mission. But yeah, so Spider-Man will be in the Avengers game as a side downloadable character starting in 2021.
I wonder if they're going to do that for different consoles then. Maybe have somebody else on the other consoles.
It won't be a bad idea. Ant-Man for Xbox.
Yeah, do something to have. Well, I mean, I don't know who what the roster is on that game, so I can't speak to that. But yeah, I mean, there's to have that. You just don't want to alienate your other ones.
No,
you're not without Spidey, but maybe you could have Daredevil in there, maybe Punisher on with the other one. So, I'm looking at the article here, and I don't see anything on that, and I just wonder how good the Spidey gameplay is going to be, because I know that's been like the big factor with the Spidey games is the gameplay. I was hooked on the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man video game. Yeah, like my son got that, and we used to just tear that one up.
Oh my god, it was like, wasn't there three of them? I believe so,
but I remember that first one because that was like a very first sandbox open world
Spider-Man. Like the Grand Theft Auto of superhero games almost.
Basically,
swing around the city,
you go wherever you wanted. You stop, help somebody out on the side of the road, or go to just continue on with your mission. So.
Yeah, it was a good one. I remember the first two were really good. The second one was really good. The third one was kind of wonky because, I remember I made it to the final stage and I was facing Sandman, he was so ridiculous to beat. And then you had to face Venom on top, which he was even harder.
I honestly think a lot of the third one was just, they were just having issues with the third one in general, with the movie, the game. I think just everything was just like they were done at that point.
Yeah, you could tell they mailed it in after that. And I believe that was one of the last. What year did Spider-Man 3 come out?
Oh, goodness. 2007,
maybe?
No. Maybe, yeah.
Five?
2001.
Because I'm trying to think. There was
probably seven or eight.
Okay, because I'm trying to think if it was one of the last games that tied into a movie, because they used to do that a lot and then they stopped.
Well, then they started jumping into the. The apps. They started doing the app games.
Yeah, the app games. And then that was pretty much it for like the straight to console games. But yeah, so that should be coming out in 2021. And maybe they will take your advice and include some other characters. That'd be a cool idea, especially, Xbox just gets kind of exclusive. Scott's really did. Try to say that right.
It's easy for you. Man.
I was getting a little tongue twister there. Like, let's say Xbox exclusively has Daredevil. That'd be a cool idea. So
you just don't want to alienate your fan base. So.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll do something like that. I'm just sure like Spider-Man's like the big name out there, and they're like, is he going to be in the game? And he is. So check that out in the coming new year. Mike?
Oh, well, mine. And I can't believe you did not grab this one, because there are too many names that that are on here that that just fall under your umbrella. But it was announced, Netflix, Sandman has reportedly landed a Doctor Who and Black Mirror director for their up and coming show season. He's not the overall showrunner. He's not the consistent director, but he will be directing several of the episodes. He's directed. This is for they have landed. I'm sorry, I'm missing his name. Toby Haynes will be directing episodes for The Sandman, though he could not say how many. He has a his credits are Doctor Who, Sherlock, the Star Trek inspired USS Callista on episode of Dark Mirror.
Oh, that's one of my favorite.
Exactly.
Episodes.
That's why I'm saying this whole like completely missed you, really surprised me. So before they come to they're trying to stick doing the Netflix TV series. They were looking to try to do more and closer to the original material, they're saying, than what we originally thought. So I'm kind of interested to see what they're going to be doing.
Okay, in that article, it doesn't say if he's going to direct the pilot, does it?
He does not say pilot, doesn't say how many. It just says that he has been signed to direct episodes.
Okay. That's it. Sorry about that. I don't know what that was.
You're having a concert over there, huh?
I don't know. Somebody's singing outside my neighbor. I don't know what's going on. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what the heck that was. But that's yeah, awesome. I'll be interested to see if he's going to direct the pilot, because usually when a director directs a show, the beginning of a show like that, you know, the pilot is the key, because the pilot basically is going to pave the way how the show is going to run, how it's going to be, how it's going to be, the format of it. So him like doing a couple episodes is intriguing, but I'm just wondering if they'll allow him to do the pilot. That's the
right,
big thing.
Yeah.
Well, if he does the pilot, then you know I'm on board, because usually if he's going to follow the pilot, then he's basically going to keep continuing a formula that's already been established. But
yeah,
you know, either way, it's still good news. He's in that verse. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's in that world, and we just, you know, see what happens from there on out. I mean, I think he would be perfect. Not a big fan of Black Mirror. That episode I love. So, my fandom for Black Mirror, I felt that they were trying too hard and trying to, to me, a good writer and a good sci-fi and horror writer, it flows natural. To me, it didn't feel natural. There was a weird feeling to Black Mirror. So.
I love Black Mirror. I'm a huge Black Mirror mark since the beginning. I try to get you hooked on it, but
it just felt
different.
Forced.
It's not your vibe.
No, it's not that. It's not that. It's not my vibe. It just doesn't feel natural. I love that style. You and I have had these talks. I do love that style. I didn't feel the writing was natural. It just felt like
it felt forced.
It felt like, well, let's see how far we can go to push the limit. I'm like, you just write the story to write the story. It's the probably some of the best Ray Bradbury in sci-fi you'll ever find. It's weird and it's strange, but it's not forced. There was just something felt forced to me, and I just couldn't get into it.
Okay. Because they have like a Ray Bradbury actually inspired episode, very similar to Fahrenheit 451. If you guys have, that's an old school Bradbury book. Get back, you know, check it out. But I'm kind of shocked. Like I really thought you would like it, but you know, like I said, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, like I said,
if it didn't hit you the right way that it hit me,
it was the writing. It wasn't about what they were doing and everything like that. Yeah, you know me, dude. Yeah, I know the strange shit I'm into. That was right. It should have been right up my alley. Like I said, I just didn't like the writing. The writing just bugged the hell out of me.
I didn't know like for sure why I didn't like it, but I can see that point. Like they're trying to stretch things out a little bit too much during an episode. I can see that maybe trying to outstretch their reach in some things, but that makes sense. So yeah, but him doing it, we'll see. Like I said, I would like him to direct the pilot, but if he doesn't, he's basically going to follow suit. So, but we'll see. He's in that universe. So,
Ideas. I mean, like I said, the Doctor Who side of it, the Sherlock Holmes, and then of course, you know, the Black Mirror. I think he should do a good job.
Yeah, he should check it out. So, yep.
All right. So what's your next one?
The creative team behind X-Men, the animated series, has made conversation with Disney about reuniting the cast of the beloved 90s animated series for a limited revival that could premiere Disney Plus. Could. Not is. Could. It might happen or it may not happen. I mean, like I said, I chose this story and I think you kind of questioned it. Like, it's not.
Well, I read it because it just didn't seem to me. It just seemed like it was the writers and the. And a couple of voice actors who, most of those voice actors were pretty much retired or semi-retired. Yeah, to me, it just, like, the title of it said one thing, the story down at the below, it just said the creative team behind the animated series made conversation with Disney about reuniting. That's all they said. We talked about it. That, to me, that doesn't hint that there's, the way this is worded, it says series producer confirms revival talks with, I don't know, just didn't seem like, I wouldn't throw that bait out in the water for that one.
Nah, but it's just a lot of things we do cover is a lot of speculation. It's just speculation.
This falls into your favorite GE and actor or writer wants a job column.
You know what? You're 1,000% right. I agree with you 1,000%. But
I think I lost.
I don't know if it is.
There you are. Oh shoot! I think I lost you for a second.
Oh, did you? Did I lose you?
No, you just froze for a second. No, I think it's on my side. We got that little. I told you about that storm going outside.
Yeah, so. Storm's coming through. No, I was asking if do you know that if the X-Men animated series is on Disney Plus right now or?
Yes. Yeah. That was the big factor of that Disney Plus, and when it came out, one of the big factors for getting a lot of people sold on it was that you were going to have all of the X-Men series, all of the, you know, all the other Marvel series on there. But yeah, the X-Men original animated series was a big factor. I think the only downfall with that was that, just like with Simpsons, it wasn't the correct ratio for the show. So it's like, it's reverse widescreen. You got the black bars on either side.
Yeah, I heard about. Like, too bad they couldn't clean that up a little bit. But
they did on The Simpsons. So maybe what they're going to do. I mean, I understand Disney was just trying to get a product out quickly and get everybody happy with that and get their stuff out there. Because I mean, before this all happened, we were supposed to be at least two episodes into a Marvel series, deep. There was a lot of things we were supposed to get, but COVID kind of killed us on that.
Quite literally, unfortunately. But the idea of it coming back, I mean, if we could speculate, I mean, it does kind of make sense in a way that, X-Men is back in the Marvel family now. You won't see it for a couple of years, like I said, if they so happen to do it. But I think it wouldn't be a bad idea. I think it's the right time for, a new X-Men animated series. And when was the last one we had? I think there was a Japanese version I saw, or some kind of manga version. It was drawn in that or animated style.
Well, there was a couple of X-Men, Wolverine ones and a couple Marvel manga ones. But if Disney's going to do it, Disney's going to do it fresh. It will not have any tie-in to the 90s thing. The 90s version at all. 90s ran its course. The main reason it was canceled was Marvel was going into bankruptcy and it had to cut a lot of its properties out. That's where a lot of the 90s Marvel stuff that we all love, we're like, man, this is great stuff. Why did it die so fast?
It was
primarily because, Marvel was going through its bankruptcy. Everybody forgets Marvel was literally out. Almost out on the streets. That's why they got rid of Spider-Man and sold it to Sony. That's why they got rid of the X-Men and sold all of those off.
Was there not a rumor that DC was going to buy them for a while?
There was almost a part. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Because I mean, that at that time during that phase, DC was actually doing pretty good. Just come off the Batman movie runs. They were doing really good with the DC animated with Batman and the Justice League. So yeah, they were doing good. Even during that time when comic books were sort of phasing out a little bit, that we had kind of hit the market, the bubble hit the market by then.
Yeah, they kind of hit their stride back then. But it'd be interesting to see if they actually do this. Like I said, I would love it, but it's not going to happen for a while. But to speculate and just to think you know,
For them to want to do another X-Men series, I completely see that when they introduce the new ones. But this is going to have nothing to do with the '90s X-Men. That's all. It's a lot of us. It's us, 30, 40-year-olds going, man, I miss my stuff. And oh, look, you know, these guys are talking about it. And like I said, a lot of these guys, even Wolverine's, you know, the voice actor for Wolverine, he's semi-retired. He's not going to come back.
Yeah. And by the way, that X-Men animated series still has the best story version, live action or animated version of the Dark Phoenix saga. Sorry. Like the two movies that came out literally had nothing to do with it. But if you watch the animated version of it, does it justice. Yeah. Does it every way, in every single way. The Starjammers are in there. It's in space. It's the way the Dark Phoenix saga should have been done.
If there was any comic book to animated show adaptation done well, it will always be the X-Men. That one, they can rest their laurels on that fact, that they have the best from book to live storylines, that they stay faithful.
Yeah, they did the Dark Phoenix. I don't think they did Age of Apocalypse, or did they?
They did a version, not Age of Apocalypse, because you're thinking Age of Apocalypse. The real Age of Apocalypse is when they go to a different timeline.
Yes,
and they never did that. No, because that was
the Sugar Man.
That was coming out at the same time as they were being made, so it was too new for them to do. You got to realize most of what they were delving into was old 70s and 80s comic book storylines.
Mm.
You know, they never touched a 90 book, you know, 90 storyline, because it was just too fresh, and they were just helping out, you know, using their nostalgia for that, because you know the kids that grew up in the 70s and 80s were watching that animated show like we are now.
And I still watch it. What are you talking about?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like we are now, they were doing that during the 90s. So I think that's just you know, a fanboy.
Fanboy reaction, yeah. But so like I said, it's all speculation. All 76 episodes are on the Disney Plus channel, so check it out. I highly recommend it, especially the Dark Phoenix saga. So
definitely.
Catherine?
Oh, was that me or was that you? Oh, okay, yeah, that was me. Sorry.
That's you.
Sorry. I kept thinking you were next. I was like, oh, we're still on yours. We have news, and I think this is awesome. Captain Marvel 2 and Candyman's Naya DaCosta to direct the sequel to Captain Marvel 2. I think this is awesome. I think that hopefully, I know she's not writing, she's directing, but she is taking over for Anna Bodine and Ryan Fleck, who directed they say massive box office success, but I'm gonna
bite my tongue. They're not wrong. I know why. Yes,
I have my statements, but with that is it was a shoehorned movie. That it was shoehorned in between two of the biggest movies of all time, and all people went. I'm not saying the only reason. A good portion of the reason people went to see this was because they thought they were going to see more about the Endgame, which we did not get any of it.
Well, they did, you know, the very end.
No, we saw Nick Fury. And yeah, no, not really. I know.
I'm pulling at strings. I'm just trying to give you a hard time.
The movie was what it was. It was good for what it was. It wasn't as successful and as over the top as it was. I have lightened up my Brie Larson poison because, again, she's an actress. She was hired to do something. I just don't think, you know, it was all that. But I think with this director, I think with Naya, I think she might bring a little bit more levity to it, especially bringing in and bringing up the actors and the characters of Rambo, who was a child, was basically ignored in that movie. And that's another reason I have issues.
Well, she was a child, so she didn't.
She wasn't a child in the comic book. She was she was Captain Marvel before Carol was. So, yet that's the one thing. I'm drawing a complete blank on her first name. But the little girl that Carol had this relationship with in Captain Marvel, that person and that character was an adult in the comic books. She was Captain Marvel. She's the one that passed the Captain Marvel title
over to Carol.
Yeah. So again, and hopefully maybe they'll correct that. And with this director, I think she might have a little bit more oomph behind it.
I wonder, because I think they didn't cast the older version of Monica Rambeau for WandaVision or one of those Disney Plus series?
There's talks of it. She did make a comment in here about it. Let me see where it is. There was a comment about
suit from there and then lead into the WandaVision, or is it going to be out of WandaVision? This Monica Rambeau character comes. So that's.
It's just how they did it. They like really like just messed it up completely. Like, we'll just make her who she was and go from there. Mm-hmm. There was notes on here about it, and I can't find it now, about how, yeah, they were referring to WandaVision. But I can't find it right now. Sorry, guys. But if there is the article, if you guys are looking for, just Captain Marvel, Candyman's Naya Costa. So she is going to be in the Candyman reboot. So that's why they're referring to that, which I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, that should be coming out soon.
A lot of things should be coming out soon. So
yeah, well, everything is coming soon, right? When's the last new movie that came out? Jesus, everything's getting pushed back. But I'll be interested to see it. I mean, like I said, I wasn't in love with the first Captain Marvel movie. I think I told you I've only seen that movie one time.
I've seen it a few times. So
I've only seen it once, and like I said, I thought it was okay. I thought she was good as Captain Marvel. She was solid. And like I said, it was a good movie, solid. But you know, nothing that I'm going to see three or four times again and quote it. It's just like, you know, okay.
Well, I saw it the three or four times because I wanted to like it. I wanted to find that moment, that spark in that movie, and I just couldn't find it. Every time I watched it, something else irked me. I got over it. I watched it again. Something else got to me. It's just, I know it's a movie. There's other things to be, you know, more irked about, but just in that movie, just was like, man, why are you pushing these things and doing that? But it is what it is. So I'm hoping for a better second one. I think maybe they've learned. Maybe the writing's gotten a little bit better. Maybe they won't beat on that. Are we keeping you up today?
No, man. I'm just, my neck is itching. Sorry.
So you yawn because your neck itches?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right. So what do you have next?
Oh, yeah. I apologize, guys. I really am. Batman. Arkham series developer of Rocksteady has announced, and actually I think you saw the picture, I think I posted it on our page, if not, it was on my personal page, that they are working on a Suicide Squad video game, and they will announce further details on August 22nd as part of DC's Fandom Comics Digital Fan Event. And guys, I'm not sure if you've seen it. It's on Twitter. It's on Instagram. It's basically a picture of Superman kind of shrouded over like this. And like the side of his head has a bullseye and it just says Suicide Squad. And it's coming from the Rocksteady people. So that means it's going to have, I would guess, that Arkham style of fighting. It probably be multiplayer. Like I said, I'm just guessing right now.
I would think so. Because, I mean, it like kind of what the one of the things it says on here is it said squad up. So yeah, to me, in my head, I would think it would be almost that or it. Do you remember the old X-Men game? I can't remember the name of it, where you could choose from jump from four different characters.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
I mean, they can go that route. They've done that before on not Call of Duty. Maybe it was one of the Rainbow Six games where you had a squad and you could jump from character to character depending on the situation you approached. Mm-hmm. I could definitely see that. But yeah,
it'd be cool. I mean, if they could make it multiplayer, make it online, like where you could like say one guy's gonna be Harley Quinn, and I mean, I don't know what the characters are gonna have in that game. I'm just guessing. I mean, Harley's got to be in there.
Oh yeah,
maybe Deathstroke, Deadshot. Yeah,
you got it.
I don't know, King Shark maybe. I mean, there's so many different versions of Suicide Squad that they could just like, they literally could just throw them all in there and like, you know, have some unlockable characters that you can just play or get them out by beating the game on certain kind of difficulty level. So I think this is great. I mean, they've been talking about this Batman game, which is for like, you know, 100 years, and you know, we've seen like little images here and there, but like now we actually get a confirmation of a Suicide Squad game, which actually makes me excited, because although I love the Batman games, I think I got a little tired of them. And now with this one being that it's maybe coming out, maybe not, but this Suicide Squad game is coming out.
Yeah.
I'm hyped. Please.
Well, you got to remember back in the Arkham Origins, there was an ending with where mm-hmm. you had Amanda Waller and Deathstroke talking, you know. Yeah,
so they'll probably pick it up after that.
That would be
the formation of Task Force X. Yeah. So, and by the way, speaking of Deathstroke, I saw recently, I think it was last night, I saw, was it the animated movie? Deathstroke, was it Knights and Dragons, it's called?
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah, we're finished.
It's like 40 minutes.
No, it's an hour and a half.
Is it an hour and a half?
Yeah, the actual movie is an hour and a half. 40 minutes is what you will find on CW Seed. You'll find the first 40 minutes on the CW Seed.
That's what I saw was the 40-minute one. I didn't see the hour one. Yeah, so no, you saw a lot more. I basically saw the part where I don't want to give it away, but there's a part in the movie where basically
it's been out
something happens
January.
To Slade, and he's confronted with somebody, something, and yeah, that's how it is.
Well,
and,
the first 40 minutes have been out since January, so it's not a big
story. Well, yeah, I had never seen it.
Oh, yeah.
I literally thought it was like just a 10-minute thing.
I talked to you about that like a month ago.
I'd never seen it. I don't know if it just slipped my radar. I don't know what was going on.
No, I told you about it 2 months ago. You need to check this out because this movie's coming out, and you're like, oh, okay.
And I didn't see it.
Yep. Another time McCain's not listening to the captain. Just mark it down, folks. Mark it down.
But it's really good. And actually, I like Michael Chiklis as the voice of Slade.
Yeah, he does a good job on that.
He does a really good job. He just adds that gravitas.
Yeah, when you get further into it with his children, I think it gets really, really dark later on.
Yeah, it's very dark, especially with his wife.
If you remember the CW Seed, the Constantine movie, how it was a little off kilter and a little darker on the darker side than the DC universe animated universe. That's how this is. This is that darker side, and I love it. And I want them to do a lot more with these characters.
I hope they do. I mean, do a Deadshot one. They introduced Hive in this movie, which was really cool, and Bronze Tiger's in it, and he had a little appearance from Lady Shiva too. So I dug it a lot, and I just hope they do more. And now, hopefully, I'll get to watch that movie all the way through because I got to find it online. And
You just take a look for it online. You'll be able to find it.
So, like I said, no further details of the Suicide Squad game, getting back to that, will be announced as part of the DC fandom on August 22nd. Captain?
Cool. My next one actually kind of jumps a little. We're gonna jump a little. I don't want to call it jumping the shark. We're gonna jump to the other side of the river. We're gonna sort of talk about Disney characters. One being specifically Mulan, who has in a way this story will tie into the Black Widow, because Disney CEO has addressed if Black Widow could be released on Disney Plus like Mulan is. Mulan will be released on Disney Plus. Disney is offering it as a premier access. So not only will you pay the standard streaming service of $7.99, depending on what plan you're on. If you're on the $14.99, you get Hulu, ESPN, all those other ones. And if I lose you guys, I do apologize. I had another flicker here. But then to watch the movie, and this is where I went, holy, are you out of your mind? The mouse is losing it. To pay $29.99 to watch the film from the comfort of your home, and also opening a theater to selected theaters as well. I was like, $30 to watch a movie, not buy.
Yeah,
I was like, Disney, you're kind of over yourself.
We talked about something like this probably a couple weeks ago. We had the idea of both with a VOD red box situation, like, you know, first week, $20. And I think we both agreed, like, yeah, $20 is, you know, that's fine. But $30,
yeah, on top of your $7.99, that's a little
on Disney. I mean, please.
Yeah, that's,
I know you're trying to recoup the funds, but come on, $30.
Yeah, that's a bit
but
much.
You get to keep it, but like,
I don't think this doesn't talk about keeping. If you did keep it, I would be okay with $30.
Oh, really? Perfect. You don't keep it? I thought it was according to the article, you can keep it.
No, release through let me see here.
Again, yeah, check. I think there's a part where it says if you pay the $30, you actually can keep it.
For your home, theatrical markets. I'm not seeing anything. Now, again, this is not the Mulan story. This is them talking about, would they possibly do this for Black Widow?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe on the Mulan story or the article, they did mention that you would be able to keep it. Now, at that point, I might be okay a little bit with
still,
that.
Still, those $30, that's,
you got to look at live stuff. I mean, when you look at, like if you buy anything off of Vudu brand new, I mean, they're not $10, $14. They're in the $20 range for new movies.
The $20 range, $21, I can see, but like $30, it's like that extra $9 is like, yeah. like $20 nowadays, you know,
you're paying that Disney money is what you're doing. It's just like when you buy Ferrari, you're paying for the name.
for business sense, I get it, but I don't. It's just like, I get you trying to make that money back, and I get you have to recuperate your funds, and you have to pay back the banks that lent you that money to make those films, because a lot of times when they make these films, they borrow from banks.
I don't think Disney's borrowing from anybody.
I'm just saying, if we're gonna
call it out. I don't think Disney's borrowing money from anybody.
I'm trying to be kind to Disney. Here. I know you are. I'm not trying to Disney nice back, but you know, yes, you are right. They probably don't have to borrow from anybody. They have their own substantial flow of money. But $30.
Yeah. Again, $30. I'm there with you, man. I'm right there with you. I think that's a bit outrageous. But what if they went that route with Black Widow?
Well, it depends how successful Mulan is, I think.
Yeah.
If everybody's buying or renting or whatever for $30, then yeah, Black Widow's going to be $30. But if this thing tanks, yeah, or they don't get the right amount of people, you know, downloading or buying it, then I could see Black Widow being 20, maybe 25. Yeah, maybe $25 Black Widow will be. I don't know.
Yeah. It'll be interesting because right now the Marvel, and I hate to say this, Marvel's like slowed down. I mean, I know it's not their fault or anything, but they're no longer in the eyes of the public anymore. It's been over a year since we've gotten anything from Marvel.
Yeah, they're living off that Endgame.
They're riding the Endgame, and of course, Spider-Man. Endgame,
literally.
Spider-Man was the last thing. I mean, we can't call that Marvel or MCU because that was really Sony. This is a really strange one because you're hoping to get that fire back up with a character that should have had a movie 5 years ago, and she's not forwarding the story anymore. This is going backwards. I'm hoping in my heart of hearts that they do forward the story more with Black Widow, and it's not just a, hey, you remember what happened back when. So I mean, they're in a very, you know, dangerous situation. So yeah, they need to watch their fan base right now, because they could lose a lot of fans because of this.
They could. They really could. And like you said, they're not really in the public eye anymore. I mean, like, Endgame was it. And then they had that Comic-Con presentation last year where they're saying all these things that they're working on. And then here came COVID and, you know, nothing. Yeah. I mean, not their own fault. But
no, again, no, I'm not faulting them in any way, not business-wise or anything. But it's just you're relying on a old story, basically. I mean, in a way.
Yeah. We're going to find out what they're going to do. Black Widow was supposed to be the beginning. Well, I guess they're going backwards, or maybe they're going forwards.
Well, I think they're going forward from here on out, but I just say her story should have been 5 years ago, and it should have been.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I think Black Widow should have been after Iron Man, too.
Yeah.
Like, literally, you could have sandwiched in there before Civil War, but now you're doing it after. It's just, yeah, this movie's a little bit, a couple years too late. Yeah. But, you know, not that I'm not going to watch it. Of course, I want to see it, but I do agree. It's just like, this movie should have been made, like, years ago.
Yeah, exactly. But,
so we'll check it out.
But, all right. So your next one, I have.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, had to.
It's okay. I was waiting for it. I knew you were going to play that theme. That's right. The popular 80s crime fighting duo of Michael Knight and Kit are reuniting in a Knight Rider feature film, which will mark the first time the franchise is headed to the big screen. According to Deadline, the new take on Knight Rider will contain its old anti-establishment motifs, which will also be modernizing the franchise for the present day. Video game writer TJ Fixman will adapt the screenplay. His video game credits include Ratchet and Clank and Resistance Fall of Man. And obviously, one of the producers is going to be James Wan. They had a couple attempts of doing a Knight Rider series. I think we have talked about this so many times ad nauseum. They had Knight Rider 2000, which was a movie. Knight Rider 1999, Team Knight Rider, which I know was one of your favorites. That's awesome. And then they tried rebooting the series a couple years ago, 2007 or 8, I believe, with I think his name was Jason or Jim Browning. He was like the son of Michael Knight, and he drove a Mustang, which I didn't hate that series. It was okay. Took a little getting used to, but, you know, Kit being a Transformer and all that stuff. But this is exciting.
Kit transformed in the original one, so you can't say nothing, all right? He did the last couple of seasons.
Don't forget
about your pursuit mode.
Turned it to like that weird windbreaker version of the car
pursuit mode. Yep,
super pursuit mode. I remember that. Yeah, that was. Yeah,
so yeah.
So, yeah, you got a good guy behind it. I don't know who this Fixman guy is, but I know of the games. I know Ratchet and Clank's a pretty cool game. So, I mean, I don't know if you're going to trust a video game guy to do it, but hey, why not? I mean, it depends how you're going to do it. As long as they don't make it the version I heard many, many moons ago, and I think I talked to you about this, where they're thinking about making a comedy. Kevin Hart was going to be the voice of Kit. I was like, no. You know, I think we tried that with Starsky and Hutch and a couple other 80s ones. Like, A-Team was actually, I liked A-Team the way they did it. Many people didn't. But you got James Wan behind this. So you got a guy who knows his stuff when he gets in deep. You know, he did a good job with Aquaman, of course, the Conjuring stuff that he's done. So when he gets involved in a project, a Swamp Thing, he was a producer on also. Mm-hmm. So I guess the big thing I'm saying is when he gets involved in a project knee deep, usually does a pretty good job. So, and they're going to set it in the modern day. My question to you is this: do they still use the Pontiac Trans Am T-top?
See, that was the big thing with the last Knight Rider series. Was mm-hmm. It was up in ours. One of them, some of them were, because it was a Mustang.
Yep.
And I thought it was fine. I mean, it's not about the car. Yes, it's a classic car. Yes, it's, but we can put that into another car. And that's why I was kind of upset that the other one failed. Because I was a fan of it. I enjoyed what they were doing. I liked that they were bringing in Michael Knight, you know, bringing in David Hasselhoff right at the very end, which they did the same thing on Team Knight Rider.
Did they?
Yeah, for the very last episode that they brought in Michael Knight, but it wasn't David. You don't know who it was because they just walked over to a tombstone and all you see was him turning his back and him facing them. And that's how that one ended. And
then really? Yeah. I never saw the episode, that episode.
Yeah, again, it was the very last one. Yeah. So, but I'm an iffy one on this one. I would love to see something with Knight Rider, but you just got to do it right. If you don't do it right, if you just take the slightest bit to the cheeky side, it could really go bad.
In this instance, too, I mean. Yeah, you got to have a – I don't know if they're going to do Michael Knight or Son of Michael Knight. I don't know what they're going to do.
They could reboot it with a different Michael Knight.
You got to find a good actor for it, of course. But I think the key is who do you find and who's going to voice Kit? Because you got to find – like one of the things about William Daniels is his voice was kind of – he's not Peter Cullen. He's not Frank Welker. He's not none of those guys. But he did fit Kit, mannerisms in his voice and, you know, the way he could emote things, because you got to have somebody, you got to make it plausible and believable. Like you have to be able to feel something. Like I think there was an episode of Knight Rider where Kit, you know, well, there's many times that Kit gets destroyed. There was one episode where he really got just beat the hell up, not by Goliath. It was by this gigantic tank thing. And throughout the whole, like there was the next couple of episodes, they were rebuilding him. But when that car got destroyed, you felt it. You're like, damn, you know, man, like my brother got hurt in a car accident. You felt that. So I think the key is you got to get somebody who's going to, that you can feel with. Like, damn, you know, that's Kit's, you know, he's right with me. He's like a friend or something. That's going to be the key to me. You got to find the right voice actor to voice Kit.
And there's right now in this day and age, we got a lot of great voice actors.
Oh, yeah, I know. But this is like Optimus Prime level when they were doing the Transformers movies.
You go for the right voice actor. You don't go for the right voice actor with a name.
Do you remember what they were talking about before? When they did Transformers, the live action movie, before the Peter Cullen actually came on board, who they talked about being Optimus Prime?
No, I don't remember because I probably blocked it out.
Tom Hanks was the name mentioned to be Optimus Prime. I was like, Tom Hanks is Prime? One of those things that he's just a big name actor. You're just going to throw him as a voice actor? I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm glad they got Peter Cullen. Yes, he's a little bit older, but you know, he's still Prime.
Not really. The last thing I heard him do Prime, you could definitely feel the voice. You could feel the voice fading.
Now, the guy they have doing Prime now,
For a little bit, a couple of times, I couldn't tell. I was like, is he?
Me neither. I was the same way. I was like, is that Peter?
Yeah, he was emulating Peter pretty well. And that's what you have to do. You have to find an actor that can emulate a voice. Maybe that's what they'll do, is maybe they will find somebody to emulate the original Kit voice. You know, find somebody
but
that
you know what?
Don't be the Kermit the Frog that sounds weird, but be the Kermit, you know, the real,
hey everybody.
Yeah, well there's times I'm watching the new Muppet Show. I think I posted that last night on Facebook. Yeah. The Muppets Now is what it's called. Everybody's really good, spot on voices. The only one that's a little off, and it just sort of bothers me a hair, is Fozzie. You know, it's wrong sounding Fozzie. He doesn't sound as obnoxious. You know, his voice is sort of there, but not. It's just not there. And if they do that with Kit, and they find a good voice actor who can match what he originally was, I think that would be better than instead of finding a completely different one. I liked Val Kilmer as Kit before because he didn't act. You know what I mean? He didn't overact. Yeah. He just basically stated as if he was just something with no emotion. And mm-hmm. I thought he did a good job there. I think a lot of people were more upset with the name. That's why I think a no-named actor that just works will be perfect because you're not dragging any more baggage with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, and then, like I said, they like to jump back on Transformers again. This Netflix series, which I just finished, which I think is fabulous, by the way. It's so good. Pays homage to the G1 and the comics, like you were telling me about. I don't want somebody to do a William Daniels impersonation. That's what I'm afraid of. I don't want anything like that. The guy who does Optimus Prime now, which I don't know his name is, he had the right amount of Peter, but yet he had his own thing. I guess it's the best way I could say you could close your eyes and yes, it's Peter Cullen, but he had his own mannerisms and the way they did things that it's still Optimus Prime. And I just hope when they're doing that, that's what they look for. Like, okay, you know what? He's not trying to do an impersonation, but this is a guy who's going to be Kit going forward.
Right.
So that's what I hope. Those are my hopes. Another thing to keep on the subject for the first movie, which they're going to do, they're going to do the origin story, which is fine. They can rewrite it, redo it again, like him getting shot in the desert. I don't know how they're going to do it. The one thing I would say is hold your cards in place. And what I mean by that is, you know, Kit, Carr, Goliath, all those things that he fights later on, don't put him in the first movie.
No hint.
Let this movie be about the intro to Kit, mm-hmm. Michael Knight, the Foundation. I don't care who they go up against. It could be anybody. They said they're going to set it in modern day. That's great. All I'm saying, just hold your cards in place. And I think for that Knight Rider series that I liked on NBC, the reboot, one of the things that they think they failed on was they were like, oh, let's throw Carr in the first season. And I thought that was a mistake. Like,
Carr in the first season was okay. Just a little hint. Say that he's out there. Say he's doing stuff. But don't do the confrontation right now.
Yeah, they did it right away to me. And they kind of included Michael Knight into that Carr storyline, which is kind of strange. Like, he was the driver for Carr. He lost his memories. And it was very strange. If you guys haven't seen it, check it out. I think it's on some streaming service. Or I think it's on YouTube. But that was one of the things that bugged me. But if you're going to do a straight origin, and then launch into your other movies. But just don't force everything in one film. As you can tell, I'm a huge Knight Rider fan. Big time. I never got into Team Knight Rider. That's where I kind of stopped. But anything that has to do with the guy in the car and in the immortal words of Will tonight, one man can make a difference. So, all right, Captain.
All right. Let's see. Suicide Squad.
Hey, Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad movie. Director James Gunn has debunked the big rumor that's been kicking around about Poison Ivy's cameo. So with rumors swirling that Alice Braga is playing Poison Ivy in Suicide Squad, has been forced to debunk those claims, making it clear the character won't be in this film. So... she just kind of leads back to possibly what is she playing, or could she be playing? And he's just doing a fast switch around. I know, but James isn't known for this, but that she could just be simply playing
Pamela Isley,
exactly.
Yeah.
Instead, she's not Poison Ivy yet, but she is playing that character that could be that way.
I don't see why not. I mean, it's when is the last time what was it? Uma Thurman was the last live action we had of Poison Ivy. And then we had the great version by Lake Bell and the Harley Quinn animated series. I think it's time to bring Poison Ivy back out to play.
Well, no, we've had Gotham.
Peyton something.
You had the two actors, three actresses.
Those three, yeah. There's the little girl. Yeah, there was a couple of them.
Yeah, the little girl, then one where she...
Yeah, she did a great... I forgot about Peyton List. I think that's her name, Peyton List. She did it in the last season of Gotham. She was good. But we haven't had a live action movie version of her in a while. I mean, it'd be nice to have just Pamela Isley in there. It alludes to like maybe down the road they can throw Poison Ivy in there. I'd be okay with it. I would love it, to be honest. I think we have had this discussion ad nauseum many times about DC characters and people, what they use in the movies. And I've always said it like this, and I'm going to give you the explanation like I give it to the captain every time. DC, yes, they are holding gold, literally. With their characters, a lot of them, besides Superman, Batman, and the Holy Trinity, they have characters who are literally just waiting to be shown on screen. And they just either they just don't want to do it, or they're like, no, they're just too silly. And I think that's like part, sometimes the directors don't want to use them, and sometimes the executives like, oh, well, that's dumb. You know, it's silly. I don't think nobody's going
to
get it.
I'd have to disagree with you now. In this day and age, how many movies have we had since we saw Batman and Superman last? And how many characters have been involved? Suicide Squad, Shazam, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, I'll throw her in the Holy Trinity, but we've never had a movie from her. We've had a lot of under those lower B-level, B-A-minus characters in. We have not seen a lot of the Holy Trinity. When you really think about what we've seen in DC, and I'll even throw DC streaming in. I mean, we've had Doom Patrol. They could have made a mini Justice League show instead. They chose Doom Patrol. They did Titans. They did Teen Titans, of course. You know, that's a big one because, you know, there's a generation that just loved and grew up on those animated
series. Actually, both versions, by the way.
Yeah, both versions. And then you had Swamp Thing, again, another smaller character. I think DC isn't holding on to their Holy Trinity. We, as true DC fans, want to delve into more characters, definitely. I really don't want to see another Poison Ivy, to be honest. We've seen her.
Okay.
I'd love to see another Batman character or another one tied into Suicide Squad. I know the whole Harley and Ivy relationship is a big, big, big moneymaker and a big attention grabber because, you know, they've had an on-again, off-again love-hate friendship. It just depends on which version you want to look at in the comic book to animated to it. Just there's just been so many different versions of that. It's just finding the right one. And I think that's the big reason is because of that animated series that people started to
hint at.
Yeah,
I was just
going to
jump on what you were saying with that animated series. I thought, and I think we've talked about this also, there are times when relationships, especially LGBT relationships, are kind of forced. I felt in that Harley Quinn series, their relationship was not forced. It was gradual. And the way it ended, I thought it was great. Yeah. I was rooting for them. Like, oh, okay, this is how they did it. Now I see why. It makes sense. Like, it was the build, the anticipation. And when they finally got together, it was like, okay, you know what? I dig this relationship. I dig this romance that happened between them two because it was real. So, and that's what I want. I love when it's real and it's out there and they were friends and it built to something.
You don't want to be force-fed it like Supergirl.
I didn't say that. That's Captain Mike at theheroesasylum@gmail.com. So
right here, I said it. So
yeah, but and I think James is using several of the wackier characters for his Suicide Squad movie. So maybe you're right. Maybe the executives are lightening up a little bit by allowing some of those BC characters to come out of the closet.
Yeah, who are we supposed to have in there? The what was the guy?
Polka Dot Man.
We have
Polka Dot Man.
Yeah. I mean, they're having Polka Dot Man. So that's what I'm saying.
Polka Dot Man.
Those execs have lightened up. All right. You've got to think we have had more B-level characters in, throw Polka Dot Man, D-level characters in there.
I would even call him a D. I would call him like neither there. If Condiment King shows up, it's over.
Dude, we had Kite Man in the Harley Quinn.
Oh my
all right?
God.
So we can't talk about that anymore.
Hey, I liked Kite Man.
Yeah, no, I loved Kite Man. I was rooting for him too. I was like,
me
man,
too.
I feel bad for you, dude, but I want this to happen. But man, you got the heart.
I felt so bad for him in that wedding. I was like, oh man, come on.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, they definitely have. When you think of the last time we've actually seen a live action, two of the Holy Trinities, it's been a while, man. They've opened their doors up to their lower. They've opened up the basement
and let
the special kids come out and play. Oh, Lower Decks.
So the little kids are coming. I like that. Is Lower Decks good? I haven't checked it.
Oh, yeah. Yet. Yeah, you got to watch it. It's
is it? Okay.
Yeah. If nobody's seen Lower Decks yet, it's not on CBS. It's a web show, and it's if you're a fan of the Next Generation, it takes place during that time frame, like around just after Nemesis. And basically how all the Star Trek shows have always been about the crew of the bridge and focusing on their goings-ons and their adventures. This is basically following the lower deck. This is following the ensigns, and not only the ensigns of – it's not just a Federation ship. It's one of the worst Federation ships. All right. So we're seeing what these guys are doing, watching the Enterprise going off and saving the galaxy again. Yet they're here patrolling the neutral zone.
What's the name again. Of the ship?
Huh?
What's the name of the ship?
Something I can't remember the name. It started with a C. It was no known ship. The captains, no known folk. And what's great about it is you catch the bridge crew in the background, and it's like what you're seeing them doing is like you're like, okay, yes, they've got another story going on the bridge, but we don't know what it is. We're focused on the ensigns. And it's great. The humor on it is more adult. It is definitely animated to draw in a younger audience, but it's got a tongue-in-cheek humor going on with it, and I thought it was great. They're signed up for a second season. If you guys are Star Trek fans, and I know some of you guys are Star Trek fans, you're holding on to your tribble right now, all right? You got to let it go, and you got to open your mind a little bit more and enjoy this. This is fun. This is more Trek. You got to think right now, we've got three Trek series going on at once. Right now, we've got Discovery, we've got Picard, and we've got Lower Decks. And there's another one getting ready to show up as well. There's Lower Decks is one, and they're doing a more kid-friendly one.
Yeah, so, you reported on that one a couple weeks ago. That's the one I would be interested to see.
Yeah, that one's going to be more kid-centered, but this one's a little bit of both. This is imagine like a Family Guy Star Trek.
I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
that's
that over.
You had to say.
It's not I'm that in. Over the top humor, but it's got that kind of humor to it. Mm-hmm. There's one of the clips they show. I think it's for next season, but it's real quick. One of the episodes from the Next Generation, he had this glowing bulb thing that created itself to be like Troy's kid, and like slowly morphed itself into growing up but one of the crew finds this thing rolling through the halls and like captures it. And he's like, I'm here to take over the ship. And she's like, yeah. She grabs it and she's like wrestling it down. And she's like, so you have to give me wishes now. And she's like, I want one of those tricorders with the cool blue, with the cool purple line on it. And he makes one and he shrinks down to like a little bit smaller. So he's giving up his life force to make these things. And she's wait, there's no battery in here. And he's like, fine. He shrinks down to where he's like a size of a dime.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like really, it's real fun. So just give yourself, if you are a Trekkie, watch it. It's fun. Stop taking your Trek so serious, guys.
Yeah, we know. And we know who you are.
And I'm a Trekkie too, guys. So, I mean, I've owned the books. I own the
manuals.
The manuals, okay? I've read the novels. I'm all on board for Trek and Star Wars. I'm one of those rare breeds that is a mix of both.
Be careful, man.
So
those curse words.
I know, it is, yeah.
Start a fight.
So which one you got next?
Hey, guess what? They're filming another John Wick movie. But they're doing John Wick 4 and John Wick 5 back-to-back consecutively next year.
Cool.
CEO President John Fifthheimer said, we're so busy preparing scripts for the next two installments of John Wick action franchise slated to hit theaters Memorial Day 2021 and 2022. So they're going to be shot back-to-back. It's not uncommon. Lots of films have shot back-to-back. Lord of the Rings shot back-to-back. Avengers, Infinity War, Endgame shot back-to-back. The Matrix shot back-to-back, so Keanu's no stranger to this. The only thing as I'm going to say is this. I think it should end after 4 because although somebody else on the other side of this camera would, venture to say they should have ended it after 3, but, they made money, so we're going to do 4 and 5. Here's the thing. If they do make a part 5, I was thinking about this at work when the announcement came down. And what you should do is this. If you're going to make a part 5, you want to introduce a new hotel like they always do, a new Continental. So why not introduce Continental Disney World? All right? John Wick has to go to Disney World Continental, and he has to confront the leader of the High Table, which happens to be who? Mickey Mouse. And he has to kill Mickey to get who? Pluto, his dog. So at the end, he gets a new dog. He gets Pluto. There you go. There's John Wick 5.
I think it would have been more poetic justice at the head of Disney was Goofy. He had to fight a dog.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Hey, Wick, you after me, bitch?
What if Mickey Mouse was the concierge? Can you imagine that? Hello, Mr. Wick. Welcome. Good to see you again.
Oh. So, yeah. Now, I am the one that he was talking about. Yeah, I'm not a – I feel John Wick should have been a trilogy. If you guys do watch or listen to our John Wick on our Midnight Movie channel, we did a watch along for the first movie. And, yeah, I said it there a couple of times, and I'll probably just say it here once. I think trilogies are the best thing. You've never heard of a great series of movies that went more than three. You know, you may have maybe one. If you're gonna say any of them, I'll go the Fast series, okay? But even then, that's kind of iffy. But for the most part, trilogies are where it's at. You have a beginning, a middle, and an end. You have a three-part story, just like any book. Any great play, you have your marks. And I think when you incorporate a fourth, I think they should have ended John Wick at three. And if they wanted to expand the world like they did, do a four then at that point and call it, you know, whatever the group was called. I'm drawing a blank on the name of the group. Call it not the Continental, but whatever the organization was.
The High Table?
Yeah, maybe call it, you know, John Wick 4, High Table, or Chronicles of the High Table, or something, and expand the world out. If they wanted to do that, I think that would have been good. Or, like I suggested on the Midnight Movies, was do the three and then transfer it over to the Continental.
Continental.
And have it where Keanu can pop in every once in a while. Or, you know, whatever happened to, you know, whatever, however he ended up. You know, if he didn't, that's fine. I'd just have his dog walk by. You know, the dog's just wandering around.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I was saying. Like, that whole Disney thing was me basically saying, even I, after, you know, a part five is like, come on, now you're reaching a little bit. Like, yeah. Four, I want to see him confront the High Table and be done. But five is like, where does he go from there? Does he go to outer space, continental outer space? Does he go back in time? Does he go back to the 50s continental? It's just, now it's getting a little like,
I think okay. Where they ended at with three, they need two to wrap it up. I think that's really what they do. I mean, and that's why, again, like I said, I think they should have just ended John's story and continued that world. And I loved that world. I thought it was a great world. I'm a fan of that style of worlds. We talked about other movies that were in the same kind of genre of, you know, of that was, you know, Payback with Mel Gibson. There's this underlying, not a mafia, but an underlying criminal organization that's bigger than what we know. Us normal people go about our days, but in closed doors, there's a whole nother, you know, very intense world going on that we're aware of, you know, that we're not aware of. And I think that would have been great to do that. But, you know, I enjoy watching Keanu do what he does. He does an amazing job at it. And, you know, I can't wait to see what he does. I'm just not, I'm just the stories I'm worried about.
Me and you both. And I'm the biggest John Wick mark probably on this podcast. So even I have to say, you know, four ended with a High Table, but five, I don't know. It's just like, you know, that's why I was making the comparison with Disney World. Like, you know, now you're getting into that clownish territory. Now you're getting into that fast, like you said, that Fast or Furious or Furiously Fast series, whatever they're going to do. Yeah. I mean, where does he go now? Space? Does he go back in time? Like, now you're getting silly. So just end it after four. I don't know what they're going to do with five, but, you know. It's whatever. So what do you got next, Captain?
Well, I've got one thing to say. If you smell what the Rock is cooking. So this week, have you seen the back and forth with Mr. Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Ryan Reynolds?
Yes.
I thought that I had to bring this one in here. But it's saying, and this, of course, this article was from that day, but it's saying earlier today, Ryan Reynolds issued a denial in the only way that he could, because apparently a rumor was going around that he would be playing Hawkman in the Black Adam. And he's also, you know, again, there was that rumor running around that he was attached to Justice League, and he was denying that, no, he is not part of the Black Adam. In fact, he is not even going to be doing the Green Lantern. That little rumor started going around that you know, that they were going to bring him back in, overlay his character in some of the scenes, because there is a rumor, and we do know a lot of that rumor is that there is a Green Lantern in that. We saw Green Lantern in the movie, but there's going to be more of that Green Lantern in the movie. So, but I thought that was great, and the rebuttal came from The Rock, Mr. Dwayne Johnson. You are playing Hawkman, and that you are also Deadpool, Green Lantern, when you want to, because you own the intellectual property. You are in the Zack Snyder JL movie, and you are also at Kevin Hart for Real's dad, like in real life, as per your blood test. So it was a little jab back and forth between them. I thought it was great to see that. Thankfully, you know, that was squashed. Hawkman, no. He does not need to be Hawkman if that rumor ever was had a light of day. And that whole Green Lantern thing, I thought the second I saw that, I was like, really, people are going to try to start that rumor? That is a ridiculous rumor to even start. Last Hawkman, Deadpool movie, he killed himself because of doing that movie.
Yeah, I mean, I could have told you that's not going to happen. But no. Their rebuttal was kind of cool, though, on Twitter. Though. I liked it. But other than like the humor that we got out of it, nah, he's not going to be in DC. He's Deadpool for now until he dies. So
yeah, I mean, there's still rumors on that, you know, how is Marvel going to be bringing that in? But yeah, I thought that was great, especially the fact that he is Kevin Hart's dad per the blood test.
Yeah, well, if Kevin Feige's smart, he will find a way to bring Deadpool in that universe. Trust me. He like I said, you're sitting on goal with Deadpool. Don't let him sit on the sidelines too long.
Yeah, he may not be the character you created or anything, but he's made for.
He's just made for it. It's just he was born to play it, like somebody said. So hopefully they'll bring him out. We'll see what happens.
Very good. So what do you have next? Or is that all of his?
That's it. I am done with all mine.
All right. Well, the last thing that I actually had, and I think this is a good news thing. We're going to end with a good news. It is reported that Marvel's Shang-Chi sets revealed in New Orleans, and they are filming, guys, as of last weekend. So we are, after several month hiatus, production for the Marvel's Phase 4 movie, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Swords, is getting ready to resume.
Is it Legend of the Swords?
Legend of the Ten Swords. Sorry, not the Swords, but Ten Swords.
Oh, Legend of the Ten Swords?
Yep, is what it says here. And
really?
It says resume filming in Western Australia. Over the weekend, Sydney's News showed that they were out there, showed a couple of the scenes or the sets that they were doing. I couldn't load those up here, but it's looking like they're back up and ready to go, and chugging along. Everybody's back out there doing their job. So hopefully, as follows, Phase 4 films will be the Black Widow, which we already talked about, and of course, you know, the Falcon series. And WandaVision, those are still in limbo because those are considered part of the Phase 4 as well.
Well, we got production started back up, so that's nothing but good news. Yeah. Eventually, it's going to lead to hopefully more productions being back open, and we can get some stuff to actually see. You know, whether it's streaming or movie theater, it's good news.
And they're looking at that. It's still looking at May 2021 for Shang-Chi to come on out. So, like I said, I wanted to end us with some good, happy news that things are getting back up and running in other parts of the world, which will help us for here. I do know they've started, the Tom Holland, that video game
Uncharted.
Yeah, that started filming last week as well. So there are a couple other ones that are out there that have started back up. So, guys, hopefully there'll be more awesome news to come.
Hopefully, cross your fingers.
So, guys, we want to thank you guys for listening, watching. We will on Facebook. We will get this over to our YouTube channel, and also you guys will hear this on Monday, and from the podcast. And there are a few new additions coming this week in podcast world, so be on the lookout for those. And make sure you guys do check us out on our social media networks. Obviously, you're seeing us here on Facebook, but we do have others. Kane, what are those?
Twitter at the Heroes Asylum Podcast. Check us out there. And on Instagram at the Heroes Asylum on Instagram. We post some cool stuff on there. Facebook group. Thank you guys for the likes and shares and all the stuff you do. And as always, from the captain to me to you, get to the asylum.